and I breathe a sigh of relief. If there's any more talking, I might lose my mind. Her lips close around my shaft as she sucks me deep. No teeth with the perfect amount of suction and tongue. I'm in heaven, loving the way she used her hand, not leaving an inch of my cock untouched. Just like that, baby. I tangle my fingers in her hair. I can't keep my hands to myself anymore. I want to touch her. I need to touch her. Darling, I say softly in a shaky breath as her tongue dances around the piercing, sending shockwaves through my system. Up, baby. She blinks up at me with my cock still nestled between her lips, eyebrows drawn inward like she's confused. I want to taste you. The corners of her mouth tip up, grazing the underside of my shaft with her teeth. I don't wince or grimace at the sensation, because the last thing I want this girl to think is that I'm not enjoying myself. I reach down, helping her stand before wrapping my arm around her back, hauling her toward the bed. My mouth is back on hers as our bodies fall backward, bouncing when we hit the bed. She lands on top of me, but she never stops kissing me as her hands slide across my shoulders, holding on to me. I roll, pinning her underneath me, careful not to crush her with my weight. I kiss a line down her jaw to her neck, licking at the soft skin below her ear. Her fingernails dig into the skin of my upper back as she arches her back like she's offering her chest up to me and not satisfied with my mouth anywhere else. Lifting up on one elbow, I stare down at her tanned skin, shining like a beacon underneath me. I slide my finger across the swell of her breasts as her breathing accelerates and her eyes are fixed on me. You're so beautiful. I gaze down her body, letting my eyes linger on her wonderland of flesh. I could lose... I shake my head. You're perfect the way you are. Suddenly, I'm a chatty Cathy too, whispering sweet nothings to a girl I'll never see again. She's fierce, yet unsure about everything sexually, almost like she's a virgin. I gulp at the possibility, hoping like fuck she's just had dipshit college boys in her life and that she's not entirely new to sex. Have you really done this before? She nods, giving me a small smile.
Yes, Pike, I'm not a virgin, I just...
Had shit boyfriends. She nods again.
It was never like this.
Like what, darling?
Slow and soft.
Fuck. The last time I took it slow and soft was back in high school when I didn't know my ass from my dick. But here I am, going slow and soft for this girl because she needs it. Lying here naked with her, I'd do anything she asked without question.
But I ache, Pike.
She shifts her legs, rubbing her knees together and driving me crazy with desire.
I ache for you like I've never ached before.
I'm going to make you feel good, I promise, leaning forward and swiping my tongue across her nipple. She gasps, pushing her tits upward and against my mouth as I run my tongue around the outside edge of her nipple. She burrows her fingers in my hair, pulling my head down against her skin.
Don't tease me, Pike.
I gaze down at her, noticing her rosy cheeks and the sheen of sweat across her skin. I'm not teasing, I'm savoring, darling. She growls a response, but I ignore her, going back to what I was doing and enjoying the fuck out of it. Her skin is warm and smooth against my lips, but her nipples are hot and hard on my tongue. Her body shakes as I close my lips around the tip, sucking with the right amount of pressure to drive her wild and have her on the brink. Her nails claw my skin as her legs rub together, her body begging and needing more as she writhes underneath me. I slide my hand down her side, making my way to her brown curls before slipping between her legs. Her knees fall to the sides, meeting the bed and giving me access to all of her. The girl is wet, almost dripping with need, and I've barely touched her. I have to test her and figure out what she can take before I try to fuck her. The last thing I need is to hurt her, and she seems so sketchy and unsure about sex, I'm not sure I believe her depth of experience. She rocks into my hand as I slide my fingers through her folds, parting her skin and stroking the pad of my thumb over her clit. She gasps, jumping like I shocked her at the contact. I glance up, but she smirks with hazy, lust-filled eyes.
"Don't stop,"
she begs me. I mumble words against her skin, nipples still in my mouth, so I don't make a bit of sense and I don't care. I'm too busy exploring her flesh, tasting her body, and enjoying the fuck out of myself to speak or stop. She tenses as I slide a finger down through her wetness and around the promised land, but as soon as I start to push inside, she relaxes and spreads her legs even wider. She's tight, but not virginal tight. She may not have been with too many guys, but I'm not the first one to enter this territory. She doesn't even grimace as I push my finger all the way inside her body, relishing the warmth of her skin on mine. She moves with me, meeting every thrust of my fingers as her pussy contracts around me. I pull out, adding a second finger, going slower this time and sucking harder on her nipple. She moans, pushing her ass upward and head backward like she's in heat.
God, Pike, I want you so bad. Fuck me, please, I can't wait any longer. Don't make me beg.
I lift my head, fingers still buried inside her, rubbing her G-spot. I'll never make you beg. I smirk, loving the way this girl reacts to everything I say and do. Unless we're playing that game.
Not now, please.
I reach across her, grabbing the condom I'd left there last night when I thought I had a sure thing coming back to my room. Gigi moves both hands to my cock, jerking me as I place the wrapper between my teeth and tear it open. You want the honors? I ask her, loving the way she touches me. She shakes her head and pulls away, leaving my cock feeling cold and alone.
Not with the metal. You do it.
I lean back, resting my ass on my knees as she studies me, watching every movement. I make quick work of the condom after years of practice, barely noticing the piercing as I roll it down over the tip and shaft, readying myself for what I know is going to feel like heaven. She places her feet on the bed, spreading her legs open as I slide between her thighs and line up our bodies. I can't take my eyes off her face as I lean forward on my elbows, ready to fuck this girl, but knowing I have to take my time. I lower my mouth to hers, kissing her soft and gentle as my cock nudges her opening. She moans again as I press inside slowly, inch by inch. I sheath my cock in the warmth of her pussy, causing my eyes to roll back from the tightness and pressure I haven't experienced with anyone else in a long time. Her fingernails are on my skin, raking across my back as I push all the way inside until I'm fully seated. She gasps into my mouth, and I swallow down her pleasure, taking it as my own. I rock my hips, thrusting in and out as slowly as I can with as hard as I am. Sweat breaks out across my skin as the mix of pleasure and torture washes over me. She locks her ankles around my ass, holding me to her, not giving me much leeway to be aggressive. I roll my hips, moving any way I can in this position. She pulls her lips away, staring up at me as I rock into her. I thought our moment was intense before, but it's nothing compared to this. Being buried balls deep, staring into each other's eyes, I'm momentarily winded from the intimacy. My heart pounds as I realize I could like this girl. Not just like her, I could spend more than one night staring into her big blue eyes, listening to her babble about whatever she'll talk about. I could spend forever between these legs, fucking her, and never get bored. I push my thoughts out of my mind, needing to stay in the moment and not think about tomorrow. We never promised each other more than this, more than a fuck at a shitty-ass motel in Daytona. She's a career girl with hopes and dreams that probably didn't include a guy covered in tats, working nights at a tattoo shop. Get a grip, Pike. My mind keeps straying, and I have to remind myself to let shit go. Gigi surrounds me, bringing me back to the moment when her tongue runs along the skin near my collarbone.
Harder,
she pleads, digging her heels firmly in my ass. I pull back, breaking the bond her ankles have around my back, and slam into her.
Yes!
She screams, bucking against me, grinding her pussy against my body.
Fuck yes!
It doesn't take but a few more minutes for me to teeter on the edge of orgasm. With one hand, I reach between us, rubbing her clit as I thrust inside her, deep and sharp, quickening the pace each time. She gasps for air as her body locks up, following me over the cliff into bliss. Jesus, I murmur as I nearly collapse on top of her.
Again,
she says almost immediately. Little tiger, I whisper, staring down at the most beautiful girl I've ever seen.
I hope you're up for more, big boy, because I'm nowhere near done.
I could go all night. She pushes me backward, climbing on top of me.
Let's see if you mean what you say.
I slide out from underneath her as she paws at me like she's going to pull me back to the bed. I'm going to need to get rid of this condom and get another.
Take your time. I'll just stare at your ass and touch myself.
I turn, looking over my shoulder to see she's a girl of her word. Fucking incredible, I whisper, running to the bathroom because I'm nowhere near done fucking her.
Chapter 5. Gigi. 15 months later. The day I stepped off the stage with a diploma in my hand, I felt like I was finishing a chapter and starting a new one. The grown-up part of my life I'd been waiting for since I was a little kid. The only thing I'd ever dreamed about was working at Inked. My artistic skills I clearly got from my dad. He'd sit with me for hours when I barely reached his hip, watching me draw picture after picture as I tried to copy his work. He was a patient teacher and an even better father. There isn't a time in my life I remember art not being part of my world. My poor mother didn't have a creative bone in her body. She was a numbers girl, and math bored the crap out of me, much to her disappointment. She dreamed of me growing up and becoming some dull corporate suit, slaving away for someone else instead of being tied to Ink. After 4 years of college and 4 summers interning at Inked, I'm finally ready to take my rightful spot, or should I say chair, at the shop. I don't understand why you need to move out, my mom says as I sit down at the kitchen table with a cup of coffee, trying to get time to pass a little quicker. I can't wait to get to the shop. My Uncle Bear decided he would be my first official customer, and I couldn't be happier. But I could probably ink a piece of shit on him and he'd still love it. I love living here, Ma, but I want to have my own place. You're great and Dad is the best, but I haven't lived under your roof and with your rules in 4 years. I just think it's the next step I have to take in my new life. Living here feels like taking a step backward, and I'm all about moving forward. Can't you stay a few weeks? I've missed you. She leans against the counter and sips her coffee, looking just as beautiful as ever. I'm picking up my keys before work today, but it'll take me a few days to get everything in order, so I'll be here until the place is ready to move in. Take your time, baby, she says softly before letting out a long and very dramatic sigh. Make sure it's perfect before you officially move out. I want to tell her that I moved out 4 years ago, but I don't. My mom is a big softy, and by the way she's looking at me, she's about to cry. Did you move back home after college? I ask her. She shakes her head. I love my parents, but there was no way I could ever live under their roof again. I knew once I left for college, I'd never go back. Even if they were great parents, could you have gone backward after having a taste of freedom? She slides onto the chair next to me and places her cup on the table. I don't think I could have gone back. Her lips pull downward because she realizes where I'm coming from, and no matter what she says, I won't change my mind. Maybe we could build a guest house out back for you. Mom, come on now. I already signed my lease. And I'm sorry, I love you both, but living in the backyard won't work for me. It's a sweet gesture and completely my mom, but in no way, shape, or form will that type of living arrangement ever work for me. I'm already going to be spending all day working with my dad. The last thing I want is to see him every night, checking up on me and living under the Gallo microscope. I worry about you living alone. I'll be fine, Ma. Tamara is going to live with me for the summer, and when she's home on break, too. If all goes well, when she graduates next year, she'll move in with me, too. Where's Dad? I changed the subject because there's no way I'm living at home, and I know the mention of my cousin's name will get Mom off my back. At least for a little while. She wraps her hand around her coffee mug and stares out the window overlooking the backyard. He went in early. There's a new artist starting today, and he wants to train him before everyone gets there. Maybe I should be there too. Why didn't Dad ask me to go? Mom laughs. Baby, you grew up in that place, and you've been working there for 4 summers. I'd hardly call you a new employee. She laughs and brings her gaze back to me. I'm pretty sure you could train this boy yourself. I push away from the table, about to stand, when she covers my hand with hers. Stay a little longer. You don't have to be there for 30 minutes, and I feel like we never have quiet time like this together. I don't want to be the last one there on my first day, Mom. How about we go shopping on my day off and buy some stuff for my new apartment? I'm grasping at straws here, but the last thing I want to do is sit here another 20 minutes listening to my mother hem and haw about how I shouldn't move out. I figure if I ask her to help decorate my new place, she'll feel more invested, or at the very least, like she helped me. That's the thing about Susie Gallo. She's not one to sit idly by when her loved ones are in need. It doesn't matter that I only need help to pick out the perfect throw pillow or the best pots and pans. She wants to be included. Right on cue, her face lights up. I would love that. I know all the places we can go to. We'll make a day of it. It's a date, Mom. I'm off Friday, if that works. But if not, I completely understand. Luna and Rosie have cheerleading camp starting on Wednesday, Mom says, looking pained and moderately horrified that her 2 daughters are cheerleaders. So, I have all day on Friday to be with you. Perfect. I push away from the table and walk toward the sink. I better run. The landlord is probably waiting for me, and I want to make a good impression. Mom follows me, leaving her coffee mug where it was, sitting on the table. She leans against the counter, staring at me as I rinse and place my mug in the dishwasher. I'm proud of you, sweetheart. I'm proud of the independent woman you've become. My insides warm. That's because I had 2 kick-ass parents. Her smile falters. I know she wants to chastise me for my crude language, because she's never been one for cussing. We want nothing but the best for you. I lean over and kiss her cheek, because hell, I love my mother. I couldn't have asked for a better mother. I mean it, Mom. She wraps her arms around me, hauling me close. I love you, baby. I can't believe you're old enough to move out. I never wanted this day to come, but now it has. I couldn't be prouder. That's my mom. She's full of all the goodness in the world. She never has a mean thing to say about anyone or anything. She wears rose-colored glasses when it comes to life. There are times when she's a little overprotective and worried about everything for no good reason, but I wouldn't change a thing about her. I have to run, Mom. I pull away from her embrace even though she tries to squeeze me tighter. I don't want to be late on my first day. Mom laughs. Well, at least you know the owners. I'm pretty sure they won't fire you if you're a few minutes late. Mom, I don't want to be treated any different. Different from whom, baby girl? Besides Kat, everyone is family and works by their own rules. I shrug. The new guy? I don't want to set a bad example, you know? She nods. Go and have a great first day at work. It's all silly. I'd worked at Inked for 4 summers, but interning is entirely different from earning my seat at the shop. Today feels like the first day of my adult life. No more school, no more classes, no more homework. Only freedom and time lie before me. I had the same feeling the day my parents dropped me off at college. I watched their SUV pull away and I waved at them frantically, filled with excitement and possibility. I had so much freedom. I didn't know what to do with myself the first few days. I didn't have a schedule, no curfew, no reporting my whereabouts to anyone. The only rigidity I had in my day were classes, but they were a breeze and mildly interesting. But this, my first job and new place, will be the first time I get to make all the rules. I set my own hours at Inked, have my own place, and don't have to walk around my apartment in anything at all if I don't feel like getting dressed. By the time I make it to the leasing office, Mr. McNamara is waiting at his desk, paperwork ready and keys lying next to the pen.
"Are you ready to sign, Miss Gallo?"
he asks as I slide into the seat across from him. "I've never been more ready for anything in my life, sir." 5 minutes and a dozen signatures later, I have the keys in my hand. I thought graduation was the sweetest moment in my life, but I have to admit, being officially handed the keys to my new place tops even that.
"Shoot me over an email of any issues you find in the apartment. I'll get them fixed right away and add them to your paperwork, just in case. I did a walkthrough this morning and found everything to be in working order, but it's still important you do the same in case you spot something I didn't."
"I'll be back after work later and we'll check everything out. I won't be staying here for a few days, though." He smiles, but I know I'm rambling, and this man couldn't care less if I'm going to use the apartment or not. The only thing he cares about is getting his rent check on time every month.
"Whatever you'd like, Miss Gallo."
I thank him with a firm handshake, something my dad taught me to always do, and excuse myself because I only have a few minutes to make it to the shop and not be late. I blast the radio as I drive to Inked, weaving in and out of traffic, belting out the lyrics to Truth Hurts. The day just started, but it can't possibly get any freaking better. I have the keys to my new place, and I am headed to my new job. I've dreamed about this moment for so many years. It feels surreal to finally be living it.
Chapter 6. Pike.
"Any questions?"
my new boss asks after giving me the rundown on how he likes shit to go. I can't blame the man. He is the owner. He spent years with his family building up Inked to be the most sought-after tattoo parlor in the state of Florida. Their reputation is what drew me to this place. Well, that and starting over after shit went south in the last place I settled down. "Nothing yet."
"My kid is starting today, too. She's been interning during her summer breaks, but today she officially has a chair, so you won't be the only newbie in the place."
"Cool." "Fucking great. The first week at any new place is hard, but add in the owner's kid, and shit can become a whole lot more complicated in a hurry."
"She's bossy as fuck, but just remember, she's not your boss. I am."
I nod, because what he's saying is technically true, but I'm pretty sure the kid will have his ear. If I fuck up and get off on the wrong foot with her, she can, and probably will, make my life miserable. I have to decide if I want to make friends with her, whoever the hell she is, or if I want to steer clear of her entirely to lessen the chances I'll get my ass canned in a heartbeat.
"I put you and her next to each other. I figure you two can help each other out. I know you're not new to this business and the craft, but sometimes people become intimidated working with so many family members."
I rub the back of my neck and try to pull on a smile. "It won't be a problem," I mutter, but nothing about the way I say the words is convincing.
"I'll be right next to you two, so I can be close if you have issues or questions."
Maybe I'm in over my head here. Working at a place like this, one with a crazy good reputation, has always been a goal. No one wants to work at a rundown shop, scraping by and waiting for new clients to walk in the door. Inked has a 2-month wait before someone can plop their ass in a chair and get the tat they've been craving. The front door opens and a beautiful woman steps inside, carrying a box of donuts and talking so fast on her phone I can barely make out the words she's saying.
"That's Izzy, my sister. She's a ball buster, so watch out for that one."
Joe, my boss, laughs.
"She may look small and weak, but the girl will no sooner have your balls in her hands, making you wish you could black out from the pain."
My eyes widen. "I'll steer clear of her then." I can't stop looking at her, though. There's something familiar in the way she talks, hand moving through the air like the person on the other end can actually see her. She's wearing a skin-tight white skirt, a pair of kick-ass boots with a heel long and pointy enough. She could do some damage with the fucking thing if she wanted. For an older woman, she's smoking hot. Joe laughs louder.
"There's no such thing. Once you're on her radar, you're on it. There's no hiding. So, prepare for that, because guarantee she'll have her sights set on you at some point. I just hope for your sake she lets you get your feet wet before she decides to make a pet project out of you.
Sounds great, I mumble, finally tearing my gaze away from the person who's going on my list of people to avoid while working here. I'm sure we'll be great friends.
Just don't get too chummy. She'll have you on the ground begging for mercy, but it's her husband who will have you pleading for your very life.
Sounds fantastic. Got it. Izzy places the donuts on the front counter before telling the person on the phone she'll talk to him later. As soon as she ends the call and tosses her phone next to the donuts, her eyes are on me.
Well, well, I see the new kid finally showed.
Ma'am, I greet and avoid correcting her on the fact that I'm nowhere near close to being a kid. I'm 27 and have been on my own for over a decade with no one around to look out for me, even longer than that. But I do the smart thing and keep my mouth shut.
Ma'am?
Her mouth gapes open.
For real? What do I look like, your mama?
I can't hold back the smirk as I run my fingers through my hair, trying to do something, anything, not to put my goddamn foot in my mouth. No, ma'am, my mama looks nothing like you. I can feel the judgment in them as she tries to make a decision if she likes me or wants to rip out my throat already with her blood-red fingernails.
He just had to poke that bear, Joe mumbles behind me.
I brought donuts for you assholes. That goes for you too, kid, she smiles.
I know she's going to call me that forever, just like she'll always be ma'am to me, because that's how I was raised. As a southern man, you don't have good manners unless you call a lady a proper name out of respect. I may have shit parents, but my grandmother taught me to be a gentleman. Because if I didn't, she'd smack me right upside the head. I glance back at my boss, but he only shakes his head slowly like I need to let the conversation die and take what she's saying like a man. I make a quick note that Izzy, who's also Joe's sister, is the one who rules the roost.
Where's my baby girl?
Izzy asks as she walks by us.
I thought she'd be early.
She had to pick up the keys to her new place before work, but I'm sure she'll be here any minute.
I head to my station, unpacking a few personal items and the tools I brought with me that I've carried from place to place for the last 9 years.
She's really moving out?
Yep. I can't convince her to stay.
I keep my head down and do my best not to listen, but I also want to know the family dynamics so I can figure out which landmines to avoid in the future. Plus, I never had a family that could stand one another in even small doses, let alone work together every day. The entire thing is fascinating and completely forgotten.
She's independent and grown, Joe. You had to know this was coming. Once she had a taste of freedom, how could she ever move back?
Izzy says, grabbing the only donut with sprinkles and then proceeding to pick one off and throw the pink sugar into her mouth. Joe sighs.
I know, but she's my little girl. I thought I had a few more years of waking up to see that beautiful face. He leans back in his chair, crossing his arms. You know what I miss the most?
Her attitude?
Izzy laughs.
Hell no. I blame you for all her piss and vinegar, sister. I miss sitting with her at the kitchen table, drawing together and talking about life.
Izzy leans against the counter, still picking apart the donut and eating it in small bites.
You can still have those moments. They just won't be random.
Their gazes move toward the front of the shop as an engine roars and a sleek black pickup pulls into a parking spot out front.
She's here,
Izzy says, tossing the massacred donut into the trash can and brushing her hands together.
Finally, some new life in this place. The kid here, she tips her head to me, and the other kid are just what we need to liven things up around here.
I grumble under my breath, busying myself again. I have my first client booked in 30 minutes, and it's a piece that'll take me all day, plus another session to finish. My back's already aching thinking about the hours upon hours I'll be hunched over the woman's back, giving her the angel wings she requested.
Sorry I'm late,
the female voice says, coming through the front door.
No problem, doll,
Izzy, her aunt, says. I doubt I'd get the same response if I'd shown up late today, too. But that's what you get for being family. Special privileges are the way it goes. Who knows if this girl has any real talent, or if she rode on the coattails of her father, not earning the chair based on her skills.
Thanks, Auntie,
the girl says as she makes her way toward her father and me.
Hey, Daddy.
Joe rises from his chair as I watch his boots move across the floor in front of me toward a pair of sexy boots, much like Izzy's.
Are you ready for your first day?
He asks her.
I've been ready for this day since I was a little girl.
I'm sure she has. Most kids dream of following in their father's footsteps. I, for one, did not. My dad was the only attorney in a small town. He was also a bastard, and not someone I ever wanted to be like. As soon as I could, I got out and as far away from him and my mother as possible.
I have someone I'd like you to meet,
Joe says, and I know it's my cue. I stand slowly, running my hands down the front of my jeans before I finally lift my gaze upward. No fucking way. My eyes widen, and so do hers.
Gigi, this is Pike. Joe motions toward me with his hand. Pike, this is my little girl, Gigi.
Fuck me. She looks like a deer in headlights as her mouth opens and closes, but no words come out. She can't be here. I run my fingers through my hair, staring at the beautiful girl I'd tasted and fucked more than once, but then she vanished without even leaving me a phone number. All I had was a first name and memories after Daytona last year. Hell, they were some great fucking memories, too. I narrow my eyes as I sweep my gaze from her face and down her body, remembering exactly how perfect her skin is underneath the scraps of cloth she's wearing. I don't linger on her body too long before I bring my eyes back to hers. It's a pleasure to meet you, Gigi.
Mm-hmm, you too, Pike,
she says like the words are acid stinging her tongue. She's staring at me as the shock wears off and the reality of what we've done in the past is hitting her square in the face.
Do you two know each other?
Izzy asks as she walks to our side, staring at us, but neither of us looks at her because we're too busy gawking at each other.
Don't be silly,
Joe says, wrapping an arm around his little girl.
Pike isn't from around here. He's new in town.
I fucked the boss's daughter. Way to go, big man.
Are you sure you don't know him?
Izzy asks Gigi. Gigi shakes her head, eyes still locked on me.
Never met the gentleman,
she says easily, lying without hesitation. She doesn't know Pike, the gentleman. She's well acquainted with Pike, the man. She'd spent days in my bed, pleasuring me and taking what she wanted without apology.
Iz, I had a question about the schedule. You got a minute before we get slammed?
Joe asks.
Sure,
Izzy says, drawing out the word but not moving as quickly as Joe does. I can feel her eyes on us for a moment before she finally steps away and follows Joe into the office. Gigi and I stand here, staring at each other, listening to the slow march of her family members' feet across the tile until they're on the other side of the shop.
It's far too quiet in here,
Izzy yells before loud music fills the shop. Fuck my life.
Are you stalking me?
Gigi whispers, getting right up in my face. Don't be fucking crazy. I wave her off and walk back toward my chair. Gigi's right on my ass, practically glued to my back.
Don't fucking lie to me. You came here on purpose.
I turn to face her, leaning my head down so our faces are close. Babe, I whisper, staring straight into her eyes so she knows what I'm saying is 100% the truth. Let's get a few things straight. You are a great fuck. And you have a hot little bod, but I'm not chasing a piece of ass all the way across the state because I need another taste. I'm also not planting roots and finding a new job just to get closer to that piece of ass either. She blanches.
You're crude.
I thought that's what you liked best about me. At least that's what you said when you were riding my cock and moaning my name, baby.
Chapter 7. Gigi. His words are like a punch to the gut. There's truth to what he said, but that doesn't mean it isn't devastating. I'd thought about Pike for months after spring break last year. Months of lying awake in my bed, replaying all the naughty things we did together. touching myself to the memories. I knew Pike wasn't a gentleman, but the words he just threw in my face prove that simple fact. There was nothing about him that screamed manners in the time we spent together, but there was a sweet side to him when he wanted to show it, which wasn't very often in the short amount of time I spent in his bed. He was a conundrum to me. I knew very little about the man. Even though we spent days together, we didn't talk too much about our personal lives. I knew a few basic details about the badass biker with a cock so damn good, he could charge admission for a single ride. I raise my hand about to strike him when he grabs my wrist and holds it in midair. "You're an asshole, Pike," I hiss, grabbing my hand from his grip. I take a step back, knowing I need more space between us. "I don't know what game you're playing, but I'm not interested in spending more time with you." He smirks. The bastard actually smirks when I say those words. His gaze moves toward the office where my father and Izzy are talking.
"Babe."
He pauses and steps closer.
"I don't play games. I don't need to."
He lifts his hand and runs the backs of his fingers across my cheek. But I don't move away.
"And based on the color of your cheeks and the way you're looking at me, I'd say you'd like to be back in my bed and riding my cock."
I slam my palm into his chest, knocking him backward because kneeing him in the balls isn't an option. At least, not now. But I'm not above using that move to bring him to his knees. Pike's not fazed in the slightest. He just stands there, still smirking like an asshole, looking just as delicious as he did 15 months ago. "I will not be riding your cock ever again, asshat. You scratched an itch when I needed you, but I'm so over this." I wave my hand between us. Whatever we had, no matter how short, is all we'll ever have. Don't even look at me sideways, or I'm going to make you wish you hadn't packed up your life for a fresh start. You may have skill, but that doesn't mean my daddy wouldn't fire your ass in a heartbeat, especially if he knew
how good I fucked you.
He raises an eyebrow. The growl creeps up my throat and slides out from between my lips before I can stop the sound from leaving my body.
"Everything okay?"
Aunt Izzy asks, stepping back into the room. I nod and turn my face toward her. "Just talking about the shop," I lie. Her eyes move between Pike and me, and I can tell by the look on her face, she isn't buying what I'm selling.
"It looks like a little more than that,"
she says, running her fingers across her chin.
"Auntie, it's just a little friendly competition between us. We're both starting on the same day, and neither of us wants to look like the bigger asshole. Even if that's going to be Pike, you know how men are. They never like being shown up by a woman."
Izzy walks between us and faces Pike.
"Is that all this is?"
She stares at him, watching his every facial feature for a tell. I know my aunt, and she misses nothing. One misstep and Pike's days could be numbered before he's even had a chance to finish unpacking his tools.
"That's all this is, ma'am."
Oh, shit. There are things my aunt hates, and then there are things she loathes. Being called ma'am is a surefire way to set the woman off like she's got a wick coming out of her ass ready for ignition. She's going to blow like a Roman candle on the 4th of July. Her entire body stiffens. "Pike, sweetheart," she says, but her tone isn't friendly. "Don't ever call me ma'am. I get where you're coming from, being a southern gentleman and all."
I snort, but it dies as she glances over her shoulder at me for a moment. "But around here, I'm Izzy, Iz, or boss. Do not ever, and I mean never, call me ma'am. Got it, kid?" I pull my lips into my mouth, biting down on them to stop the laughter that's bubbling up the back of my throat. First, because Pike's getting his ass chewed out in the nicest way possible by my aunt. And second, because Izzy just called him a kid.
"I'm sorry, Izzy,"
Pike says without sarcasm.
"I didn't mean to offend you."
Your looks may get you a free pass with some women, but I'm not so easily charmed by a pretty face or that southern drawl. Her daddy, she pitches her thumb toward me, will be even less impressed if you do something to piss off his daughter. So word to the wise, kid, either steer clear of Gigi or learn to make friends with her. You do something to make her mad and it'll be your made bed you'll have to lie in as the door kicks your ass on the way out. Pike nods. Those beautiful green-blue eyes that have haunted my dreams for months, showing no emotion.
Got it. Loud and clear, boss.
Izzy smacks her hands together and moves away from Pike. My work here is done. We have a full schedule today, so it's time to get your asses in gear and your shit set before they walk through the door. No more time for girl talk. You two can finish your bullshit later. Got me? I'm staring at Pike, smirking because my aunt shut his shit down. But when I look at her, any glee I felt dies. She's staring right at me, looking like she knows something isn't on the up and up. There's no bullshit to finish later, Izzy. We're solid, and I don't have time for anything else. Bear's coming in this morning to get that piece he's always wanted.
Who's Bear?
Pike asks. A real badass biker, Pike. You may want to take notes on how one acts instead of being a wannabe. I walk toward my chair and away from Izzy's penetrating stare.
You two ready?
My dad asks, walking into the main room completely oblivious to everything that's been happening.
I prepped your station last night, sweetheart. Figured it would make your first day less stressful.
I pop up on my tiptoes and kiss my dad on the cheek. Thanks, Dad. You're the best. I wrap my arms around him and hug him tightly. I peer over his shoulder, catching Pike's eye, and sticking my tongue out at him. Not the most grown-up thing to do, but I don't care. I'm not into impressing Pike. I've already taken what I wanted. And now, whatever we had, which was only a few days, is done. Over, kaput, finished. There was no dipping my toes back in those waters again. No matter how fabulous the orgasms were. And they were ridiculously great. Every orgasm I'd had before Pike, I gave to myself. It had always been me and my hand until Pike rocked my world and showed me how it could be. Or should I say, how it should be.
I'm here, baby girl,
Bear yells as the bell above the door chimes so loud, it's like my aunt purposely wants to scare the shit out of everyone every time it rings. Back here, Bear, I yell back, trying to be heard over the bell and the death metal my aunt feels is appropriate for this early hour. By early, I mean noon. Nothing happens in the shop before noon. My family has a different idea of time. In college, I took the earliest classes possible so I'd have the rest of the day free. Now, I'm trying to reset my internal clock to be on inked time.
I'll grab Bear, Dad says as he pats me on the shoulder. Get your shit together, because Bear may love you, but don't put it past him to be on your ass on your first day.
I nod. I'll be fine. I'm ready for whatever he's going to throw at me. You know, I've spent my life handling men like him. I smile, because my father's friends aren't for the faint of heart, and I've perfected wrapping them around my little finger. Bear is no exception. He and my dad go way back. They've been friends for almost 30 years. Back to my dad's single life, when he was an even bigger badass than he is now. When I was little, Bear married my great-aunt Fran, my grandfather's sister. No one was happy about their relationship at first, and I remember more than a few screaming matches. But people calmed their shit after a while and gave them free rein to be happy. I love Bear and Aunt Fran together. She is absolutely perfect for him, because I don't know if anyone else could handle Bear the way she does. Bear may be a biker, but he is the very best kind of person. He is sweet beyond compare, but only if he likes you and you have a set of tits. He is a horn dog. It doesn't matter how old he is or that his beard is almost completely gray. He's never lost his thirst for the females. But he is a one-woman guy, and that woman is my Aunt Fran.
Got a handout for your first client. Must be nice to ride on everyone's coattails.
Pike says when we're alone again. Why don't you just fuck right off? I glare at his reflection in the mirror. I can't help it if my family owns this shop. I'm sorry that pisses you off so badly, but I earned this spot just as much as you did, Pike. So get the fuck over yourself. I plop down in my chair, pulling the bottle of black ink out of the cabinet I stocked last week, ignoring whatever face I'm sure Pike's making at me.
There she is,
Bear says as he walks into the back, holding out his arms, waiting for me to jump into them like I did when I was a little girl.
Come and give me some love, baby girl.
Hey, Uncle. I smile at Pike so he'll eat shit. I want him to know that I plan to have everyone eating out of my hands, whether they're related or not. The only person who's not going to like me is Pike. And for that, I don't give a shit. I've missed you. Bear hugs me tightly.
Not as much as I miss you.
Pike's gaze flicks upward as he slowly shakes his head, muttering something under his breath. I can't wipe the smile off my face, because knowing he's annoyed has me over the fucking moon ecstatic. I pull away, still holding on to Bear's arms. You finally ready to let me scar you for life? Bear's eyes light up.
Been waiting for you to leave your mark on me for years, kid.
Still putting it on your shoulder? I ask.
Well, it's either there or my ass. I figured I'd save your young eyes and stick with the shoulder.
I love my uncle, but there's no way in hell I'd tattoo his ass. I know it comes with the job. Men and women will walk through the door and ask for ink in places no human should have to see. But I am not prepared to go there with Bear. I'd never be able to sit across from him at another family dinner or holiday and not think about his pasty white ass. I have your design already. I grab my sketch pad from my bag and flip through the pages until I find his design. I'm so excited for you to finally see it. I can make any changes you want. I tear out the page and hand it to him. Bear holds the paper with both hands, gaze sweeping up and down and back up. His mouth twists at the corners, and his pink lips disappear, replaced by his white teeth.
Damn, you did good.
I let out the breath I've been holding because I wasn't sure if Bear would like the design, and I knew he wouldn't hold back. I may be his niece, but one thing Bear isn't is a liar. He doesn't sugarcoat shit. He doesn't spare anyone's feelings, and it's one of the things I love most about him. I don't like people who are full of shit. Family or not, I want to be told the truth. And if Bear says it, I believe him. Do you want black or some color, Uncle?
Whatever you want, kiddo. Just not fucking pink.
He shakes his head.
I fucking hate pink. No purple either. I'm not into having pansy-ass colors on my skin.
No chick colors. I got it, Bear. You want it bigger or smaller than it is? I ask, taking the paper from between his fingers.
It's perfect. Let's get this show on the road. I have to be home in time to take your Aunt Fran to dinner, or she'll have my balls in a sling, sweetheart.
Get comfortable and take off your shirt. I'll be back in a minute and we'll get started. Bear sits down and pulls his shirt over his head before leaning back and throwing his hands behind his head, staring right at Pike.
What's your name, boy?
I snort as I walk toward the back room to put the design on transfer paper.
Name's Pike. Pike, huh? Where are you from? Tennessee.
I stand close to the door, listening to them shoot the shit, and trying to get whatever details I can on Pike.
That your hog outside?
Bear asks.
Yep. It's nice. You look like a man who knows his way around a machine. And that is one of the best. Had to cost you a pretty penny. I'm impressed someone your age could save enough for a classic like that. I don't spend my money on bullshit. I like a few things in life, and riding is one of them. I don't cheap out when it's something I want, and I wanted that bike since I was a kid.
Bear laughs.
A kid with an attitude. I don't know if this shop can take more, but you're gonna fit right in here, Pike. So, Gigi's your niece?
Pike asks, and I move closer to the hall.
By marriage. I've known her since she was born. She's like one of my own. And I can tell by the way you've been looking at her since I walked through the door. You better turn your eyes elsewhere. Ain't looking at her, man. She's not my type.
Pike lies, because from the way Pike fucked me, I'd say I was very much his type.
She's every man's type,
Bear tells him, calling him on his bullshit. I laugh as I grab the paper, but I don't walk out of the back room yet. I'm enjoying this exchange way too much to interrupt.
And I know her daddy, and he won't like you staring at his daughter like you want to devour her. So word to the wise, kid. Look elsewhere. Don't shit where you eat, and do not, and I mean absolutely do not, make goo-goo eyes at my niece, or you'll be packing up quicker than that young pecker of yours can come.
Noted,
Pike replies. I cover my mouth to hide my laughter as I stroll back into my station, holding the design, ready to give Bear the best tattoo I can. I also plan to fuck with Pike as much as possible to make the day even more kick-ass.
Chapter 8. Pike. My client, Piper, has headphones on, and she's trying her best to last one more hour in my chair before she calls it a day. She's sweating profusely and on the verge of hyperventilation with her eyes squeezed tightly shut.
It doesn't look like she's going to make it,
Joe says, standing behind me and watching over my shoulder. I don't look up. Every second is precious now, and I'm doing my best to finish the outline of the massive piece before Piper quits. She said she can take it. I've asked her every 10 minutes if she wants to tap out and finish another day.
She pukes. You're cleaning that shit up, Joe tells me. You have 2 hours before your next and last client arrives.
He walks away, going to the front of the shop where everyone is standing around shooting the shit. Everyone except Gigi. She killed the design on Bear's shoulder and finished 4 other small pieces on various clients. Each design was better than the last. I'd assumed she'd gotten the chair because she was related and for no other reason. But I was wrong. The girl has talent and tons of it. I have 9 more years under my belt than her, but she is so skilled I would have guessed she'd been doing tattoos for years. I glance up as Gigi feverishly types away on her phone, tongue poking out, sweeping across the corner of her mouth. She's barely said 2 words to me since our little chat before the shop opened. It's probably for the best, anyway. Of all the damn shops I could have planted new roots in, why in the hell did it have to be the one where I'd fucked the boss's daughter? I was psyched when I got the call that there was a free chair at Inked because they needed extra hands to keep up with the demand for their services. This is a dream job for me. Every artist wants to be at a place that's brimming with life. That was my main reason for coming to Inked. That and starting over, getting away from the bullshit of the last 5 years, and finding a new place to call home.
I'm done. Stop.
Piper groans as she pulls off her headphones, almost making me fuck up a wingtip. I lean back, looking over the massive piece, knowing the shading will take a fraction of the time the outline did. We can finish it when we do the shading. Piper's facial features relax immediately as she sits up, holding her t-shirt against her chest.
I need a month before I can come back and go through this shit again.
I scrub my hand across my face, catching Gigi's eye as she watches us across the room. Take all the time you need. When you're ready, we'll finish what we started. I've got nothing but time. Let me just cover this piece and you can go. Gigi's eyes narrow. I don't know if the words I just spoke were for Piper or Gigi. I don't plan on going anywhere, no matter how badly Gigi says she wants me to. What happened last year between us feels nowhere near finished either. That's the biggest problem. I didn't do a damn thing to the chick. At least, nothing she didn't beg for me to do to her. Yet, she's treating me like a piece of shit. A distant memory. A huge fucking mistake. Piper pulls her shirt over her head as soon as I finish covering the back piece, facing away from me, but giving Gigi the full view of her tits.
Can you put me down for 1 month from today? I want to have something solid in the books before I leave.
I'll grab you a water and put you down. I stand, stretching my back and legs because they're stiff and ache like a motherfucker. Piper follows me back to the front, standing on the other side of the counter as I pull up the scheduling software I've had 5 minutes of training in how to use.
That piece is going to be killer when it's finished,
Izzy tells Piper, chatting with her as I fumble my way through the screens, trying to find next month.
I'll be happy when it's over. I always forget how much this shit hurts until my ass is in the chair and the needle is pulling at my flesh. But it's totally worth it, and Pike does some of the best damn line work I've seen in a long time. You'll be happy when the work is finished and you can show it off to the world.
Piper shakes her head.
This one is for me. I don't plan on showing it off. Oh? My husband died last year and this tattoo is for him.
Izzy gasps.
I'm so sorry, I didn't know.
I glance up as Piper gives Izzy a pained smile.
It's not something I share. I'm still not ready to talk about everything that happened. He always wanted me to get this tat, but I was too much of a pussy to do it until now. Well, it's beautiful,
Izzy says, placing her hand over Piper's.
The tattoo and the sentiment.
Finally getting the computer program to work, I tell Piper, there's a spot open on July 5th at noon, if that works.
It's fine.
She nods quickly.
We'll be done after that?
Yes, ma'am. I get the side eye from Izzy, and Piper's face falters for a moment. What the fuck is it with the chicks around here? Why is ma'am such a shitty word? Where I come from, every woman is a ma'am. You'll get yourself smacked upside the head if you call a woman by any other name. But here, in the middle of fucking nowhere, Florida, the women act like you're physically hurting them every time you speak the word.
Just Piper, kid.
She throws back my way, just like Izzy did.
I keep telling him,
Izzy says, giving me a satisfied smile. I scribble the date and time on a business card before handing it to her. I'll see you in a month, Piper.
Thanks for helping me push through it today, Pike,
she says as she heads toward the door. I nod, smiling at the pretty lady whose face displays all the layers of pain and grief for the world to see. You have just enough time to grab something to eat, Joe says as he stands across the counter in the same spot Piper just was. Why don't you take Gigi and go grab some dinner? I'm fine. The last thing I need is to be alone with her tonight. You both need to eat. I have a client coming in, and no one else is free. Just take Gigi. She knows this area, and maybe you two can be friends. It's always nice to have someone at work to talk to who isn't related. I don't want to tell him that she and I have nothing much to talk about. We could fuck like monkeys, but beyond that, I'm not sure we have much to say to each other. Based on our earlier conversation, I'd say there are no words left to be spoken. I can just grab something next door. Joe shakes his head. I want my kid to eat, and it's important to me that you two are friends.
Joe, let the kids work their own shit out,
Izzy tells him, grabbing onto his arm and handling him with her words and body.
You can't force them to like each other.
Gigi!
Joe yells out like his sister didn't say anything to him. Gigi's in the front, standing behind her father and glaring at me within a few seconds.
What's up, Dad?
Joe dips his head in my direction, not turning around to see his kid. Go with Pike and grab something to eat. Show him some of the local places that serve the good shit. No fast food.
Go with Pike?
Gigi whispers.
Why?
I want you two to be friends.
Are you fucking serious?
She whispers, eyes turning icy fucking cold, but she's staring at me and not her daddy.
For God's sake, why?
Joe glances toward the ceiling, muttering under his breath. Just do as I ask, he tells her. She lifts her phone and shakes it in his direction as he turns toward her.
They have food delivery now, Dad. You don't actually have to go anywhere. I'll just order us something to eat.
If he knew what he was asking, if he knew what we'd done, he wouldn't be forcing her to leave this place with me. But I never plan on breathing a word of what we'd done to anyone. I'd have my ass booted from the shop and my name blackballed from every tattoo place in the state.
Just let her order in,
Izzy says, looking at me and then at Gigi.
You know kids today, Joe. They don't like to actually do anything for themselves.
Izzy laughs nervously. By the way Izzy's acting, I reckon she's read something in our body language and has assumed we aren't the strangers we've made out to be. She seems like someone who can figure things out quickly and see through bullshit quicker than most. Grab me a burger from that place down on County Line. You know it's my favorite, and they don't deliver up here.
That's 15 minutes away, Gigi whines.
It's a good fucking thing you both have over an hour, isn't it? He shuts down any argument either of us can make on why we shouldn't head out alone. Gigi curls her lip as she glances at me.
Fine, we'll go, but you've used up your asks for this week.
Joe takes a few steps toward his kid. I haven't moved an inch, just stood there staring at them both.
I'm not asking as your father, baby girl. I'm telling you as your boss.
My eyes widen, and so do Gigi's.
So, grab me my usual,
he says, looking down at his kid, standing a foot away from her.
Fine,
she snaps.
Oh, Lord,
Izzy whispers and shakes her head.
Clusterfuck, total and complete clusterfuck.
I rub the back of my neck as I walk around the counter. I can go alone, I tell Joe, not needing Gigi's pissy attitude because her daddy forced her to go with me. I can find the joint and grab your food. But any other words I have on the tip of my tongue die quickly as Joe glares at me.
No, you won't. She's going too. I don't know what bad blood you two have, if it's from both being new and starting on the same day, but this isn't a competition. This is a business, and you two have to work together. Whatever bullshit, imaginary beef you have, ends here and now. Do you understand me?
I nod because I'm not arguing with the boss. No way, no how. If he wants me to take a ride with his kid to hell and back to get him a bottle of water, I'll fucking do it. It's not like Gigi is hard to be around. Keeping my dick out of her might be an issue, but it isn't a hardship spending time with a pretty chick who could do more with that mouth than sass.
I understand, Dad,
she says softly.
I'll play nice.
Joe's lips turn up and his shoulders relax.
Now, get moving. I'm starving. Ask everyone else if they want anything before you go.
I'll grab my keys.
Oh, no.
Gigi shakes her head, still glaring at me like she wants to rip off my head.
I'm driving.
Why? She crosses her arms, tilting her body to the side, eyes traveling up and down my body.
Let me guess,
she says, her tone all full of piss and vinegar.
You have the bike, yeah?
Yeah.
We're getting food for everyone, and I'm not fucking holding it while we weave in and out of traffic just because you want to take your bike.
I shrug. I have a compartment.
It's a big nope for me. We're taking my truck.
Whatever makes you happy. I'm not going to stand here another 10 minutes arguing about which form of transportation we're going to take. I could give two shits how we get there as long as we get there.
Smart kid,
Joe says.
Or the dumbest one ever,
Izzy whispers before shaking her head at me. Hopefully, whatever scenarios Izzy has swirling around in her head, she comes to me about before blowing up my life. She and Gigi are close. I can tell that from the short amount of time I've seen the two interact. If Gigi spills the beans, my ass will be on the back of my bike, searching for a new job and a new town. Again.
I'll meet you out front.
Gigi tips her head toward the door.
Black truck.
I don't stick around. I need some air and to get my head on straight before I go anywhere with this chick. She has me all kinds of tangled up inside. My brain is going a million different directions, most of which are bad, but they all end up in the same place, with Gigi back in my bed, moaning my name and begging for more. Fuck. The door doesn't close behind me as I step outside into the damp Florida air. I don't notice I'm not alone as I start to pace.
I don't know what's going on, but whatever it is, you better find a way to fix it or move the fuck on,
Izzy says. I jump, clutching my chest.
Jesus fucking Christ, you scared the ever-loving hell out of me.
She marches up to me, craning her neck to look me in the eye.
Did you hear me?
I nod. Yeah, I said you scared the shit out of me, Iz.
Listen, kid,
she points to the window of the shop.
Gigi's gunning for you. She doesn't like you, and she doesn't hate many people. So whatever you did to fuck shit up, make it right. I don't want to lose you already, but she's family.
Yeah, I know how it goes.
I run my hand through my hair and sigh.
It's not my business. She's my niece, and you're both adults, but mark my words, fix whatever you fucked up, or you won't be here more than a week.
I don't deny that there's history. I won't lie to Izzy again. She's smart. I won't be going into detail about all the ways I'm acquainted with her niece. I won't tell her how I know the way she tastes, how she kisses, and the perfect curve of her ass. I'll fix it. I jam my hands into my pockets, trying to figure out exactly how I'm going to do that. Maybe I need to remind Gigi of how perfect we are together. I don't get why she's so fucking pissed. I did not stalk her across the state. Hell, I knew her first name, but nothing else about the girl.